Thank you. Okay, well, there's much we could talk about today from the reading that we're going to hear in a minute. But what we're going to do today is to explore together the unnamed chronically bleeding lady, whose story is recorded in three of the four Gospels. We see it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we're going to look at the Luke reading today. This event hasn't been made up, and it's not a parable. The fact that Matthew, the most Jewish of all the disciples, recorded the incident that must have disturbed him greatly indicates this. The woman was not supposed to go near anyone and certainly not to touch anyone, but she does. She did. This is an astonishing event, but when we fully understand the cultural and the spiritual implications, we see what an amazing event it was and what an incredible woman she was. I'm going to ask Gordon to read Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 50 from the New Testament for Everyone version of the Bible. And during the talk, I'll also refer to Mark chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 from the same version of the Bible as we reflect on this woman's actions and also her miraculous healing. So Gordon, could you bring the reading for us, please?
Jesus returned. A large crowd was waiting for him and welcomed him back. A man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell down in front of his feet. He pleaded with him to come to his house because he had an only daughter, 12 years old, who was dying. So they set off and the crowd pressed close in around him. There was a woman who had had an internal hemorrhage for 12 years. She'd spent all she had on doctors, but had not been able to find a cure from anyone. She came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his robe. Immediately her flow of blood dried up. "Who touched me?" asked Jesus. Everybody denied it. "Master," said Peter, "the crowds are crushing you and pressing you." "Somebody touched me," said Jesus. "Power went out from me and I knew it." When the woman saw that she couldn't remain hidden, she came up trembling and fell down in front of him. She told him in front of everyone why she had touched him and how she had been healed instantly. "Daughter," said Jesus, "your faith has served you. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone arrived from the synagogue ruler's house. "Your daughter's dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher any longer." "Don't be afraid," said Jesus when he heard it. "Just believe and she will be rescued." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Just before I start, just to share with you, I chose the Gospel of Luke because Luke, to me, seems especially concerned about the treatment of women. As you read Luke, you'll see he's very concerned about women. So the problem that this lady has, I would suggest, is one that most of us have shared at some stage of our life, either due to an illness, a disability, or a body image issue. And of course, over the last 18 months, due to the pandemic, that our ability to be accepted by others, to interact with and to be intimate with others is either limited or prevented. I think many of us didn't realize just how important touch was to us until the pandemic came. That need to be touched and to touch others, that need to be hugged and hug others, that need to embrace and to be embraced by others. We know from the scripture that this woman has been bleeding for 12 years. It's probably an obstetric bleed and probably due to fibroids or uterine polyps, a condition still suffered by women today and still difficult to treat. We don't know how old she was, but what we do know is that she was desperate to be healed, that she spent all her money on doctors and none of them had been able to heal her. Mark shares that she had got worse rather than better as a result of seeing the doctors. So she would have been physically and emotionally exhausted, anemic, destitute, and still desperate to be healed in order, first of all, to feel well again, because she must have felt absolutely dreadful, and also so that she could go and meet with other people so that she was no longer isolated. In places without state-funded healthcare, access to healthcare and private insurance schemes, good health is a really precious commodity. as we know, people in the developing world today and people during the times of this lady had only faith at times of illness and suffering to get them through. Illness and poverty follows each other down a downward spiral from which there often seems to be no place of return. And this is, of course, where this lady is. Now, the religious and the culture of Jesus's time consisted of hundreds and hundreds of religious laws, many of which dealt with being clean and unclean. Purity taboos were essential in order to maintain public health, something we've been aware of during the pandemic, the things that we've been allowed to do and not been allowed to do. But at this time, soap, as we know, it wasn't available. It wasn't invented until the Middle Ages, and resources such as running water and proper drainage were barely thought about at all. The Jewish scripture and subsequent traditions had codified and elaborated the laws into something that seemed like an art form. But two of the main sources of pollution or being unclean were dead bodies and bleeding women. Blood was taboo. Women during their menstrual cycles were forced to seclude themselves away from people. They were to have no contact with the people in their families, because if they came into contact with their husbands and with members of their family, they would make them unclean. After their menstrual cycle, or after they'd given birth, women had to undergo a very special cleansing process before they were allowed to re-enter society. Now, this lady we're looking at this morning, she's been bleeding persistently for 12 years, so she would never have been able to go through the cleansing process. Thus, she was deemed by everybody in the village that she lived in as unclean, and as a result, she was a social outcast. She would not have had a husband because of this, and as we see in the reading, there is no reference to a husband in any of the Gospels. She wasn't therefore allowed to come into contact with anyone in order to avoid her contaminating them and making them unclean. So, as we said, she lived in isolation, like many of us during the pandemic, and particularly those with little or no access to the internet for Zoom, Facebook, YouTube, and also we suspect in pain for 12 years. In order to receive the basic things that she needed, like shopping and all of the other things, she would have had to have relied on relatives and friends to have left what she needed outside the door. They wouldn't have been able to communicate with her unless they wanted to risk breaking the laws. And again, something that many people were familiar with during the pandemic, this need for someone to drop your shopping outside the door. So what happens? Jesus, who's been to her town before, returns. She's heard about him. She knows what he's done in the past. And there's a large crowd gathering, waiting for him and to welcome him back into the village. We know that she's really desperate to be healed. And according to Mark chapter 5, verse 28, this woman hears that Jesus is coming back to the town and reasons that if she can get close enough to Jesus to touch his clothing, she could be healed. The verse says, "If I can touch his clothing, she said to herself, I'll be rescued. So as we said, she's physically and she's emotionally exhausted. She's destitute, but she's desperate to be healed. But what she is also is spiritually very strong, and she's determined. So she chooses to ignore all these religious laws that have constrained her for so long. She leaves her home and she enters the large crowd. She gets to Jesus and she touches the tzitzits, which are the tassels on the hems of Jesus's cloak. She's probably on her hands and knees, because to touch the tassel, she must have been down low. And I wonder also whether she's on her hands and knees because she wants to avoid any of the people in the village seeing her, because they know she's unclean. But immediately as she touches these tassels, the bleeding stops, and she senses that she's been healed. Isn't that wonderful? But what she's actually done, as I've said, is she's made Jesus the rabbi unclean and all those in the crowd that she's touched. And then, of course, we know that Jesus asks, "Who touched me?" She wants to remain anonymous. She's broken the religious rules. those in the crowd are going to be furious. And of course, Peter points out to Jesus the obvious, you know, the crowds are crushing you, Jesus. They're pressing against you. Lots of people are touching you. But Jesus is clear. Somebody touched me. Power went out of me. I know. He knows that he specially touched somebody or they've touched him. And of course, in this case, it's she that has touched him. At this point, she realizes that she can't remain hidden. And so with crushing embarrassment and trembling, she identifies herself. Let's imagine her fear when he called her out. How could she come forward and confess that she was an unclean woman, that she'd infiltrated the crowd and gone so far as to touch the rabbi, to touch Jesus? And in front of everyone, she explains why she touched Jesus and that she sensed that she's been healed instantly. And here I think it's really important to recognize that what Jesus does here is he doesn't tell her off, but what he does is he encourages her not only to reach out in faith, but to proclaim that faith, which she did. I can only imagine a collective gasp from the crowd when they hear her story, that her bleeding has stopped and that she's healed. So what we see is that with love and compassion, Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And Jesus has done the opposite to what anybody in the crowd would expect him to do. Instead of being repulsed and disgusted by her, he's responded in peace, in acceptance, in grace, in love, in understanding, and with compassion. He calls her daughter. What a precious word to use. He clearly demonstrates to everyone that he accepts her and he loves her. He offers her peace. What a blessing. I suspect she'd had no peace for the last 12 years of her life. She'd been in isolation. She'd been in pain. And he shares that her faith has saved her, has healed her. Now, I think this is really important because what we see in this story is Jairus, who is the ruler of the synagogue. And of course, at the beginning of the reading, Jairus is wanting Jesus to come to his house quickly because his 12-year-old daughter is very unwell. And of course, what we see in the reading in verse 50 is that Jairus doesn't have the same faith that this woman has. And Jesus reminds Jairus to have faith after he's told that his daughter has died. It says, "Don't be afraid," said Jesus when he heard it. "Just believe and she'll be rescued." So the ruler of the synagogue his faith is wavering, but this woman has real faith in God. Now, this event and other healing events recorded in the Bible doesn't tell us that if we have faith, we'll always be healed, but rather that if we reach out to Jesus in times of pain and heartache, isolation and loneliness, what we receive is the gift of truth, that we are beloved and we're known intimately by God, who loves us greatly. Why we're not always healed is another talk for another time. One thing I think is really interesting about this woman is the way she approaches Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, he was bombarded by the sick and the afflicted, begging for healing. But this woman doesn't do that. Instead, she found the most inconspicuous manner possible to seek healing from Jesus. She doesn't want to bother him. She doesn't want to call attention to herself. She doesn't wait for him to notice her. Instead, she seeks him out, then quietly reaches out and touches the tassels of the hem of his cloak. I'm sure she assumed that since it was merely clothing, not his body, that she was touching, that Jesus wouldn't notice. But this kind of faith doesn't go unnoticed. I wonder whether this miracle was done particularly to build up the faith of Luke. Luke was likely to be a doctor. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, we read, "Luke, the beloved doctor." He also would have known lots of patients who had spent all they had trying to find a cure, and he might have been their doctor. And of course, what he sees here is this miraculous healing. I think the message for us is that whatever problem or suffering we face, and also whatever problems and suffering the people of the world face, Jesus wants to get his hands dirty. He wants to put things right. And this is what the Bible promises. Jesus wants to quietly come amongst us in our muddled lives, in our isolation, in our fear and distress. He welcomes our desperately trembling touch and responds with the words, daughter, son, don't be afraid, go in peace. I'm sure that these are words that many of us have heard or felt during the pandemic and continue to do so.